You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, our guest will take us on a whirlwind tour of the incredibly diverse cuisines of China on this edition of Food Friday. Right now, Wisconsin's right-to-work law has been controversial since it was put into place last year. Since its implementation, it's been challenged in court numerous times. It's been temporarily struck down, put back into place, protested by its detractors, and hailed as a victory for the Wisconsin economy by its proponents. But in a new lawsuit challenging the law, a small portion of it was ruled unconstitutional by a federal circuit court judge this week. Molly Willems joins us now to talk about the ruling. She's the Wisconsin reporter for the Courthouse News Service. Molly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what part of Wisconsin's right-to-work law did this ruling specifically address?
This one addressed what are called dues checkoff authorizations. Now, in layman's terms, that essentially means an employee can tell their employer to withdraw union dues from their paycheck. So there was a provision in federal law before 2015 Wisconsin Act 1 that was controlling that said an employee can agree to that and the union and the employer can require them to stick with it for a year. Now, the right-to-work law said an employee can withdraw at any time with 30 days notice. So where in the past they basically had a limited window of 15 days within the year period to withdraw from their year-long agreement to pay union dues. Now it basically said all you need to do is tell them a month in advance and they can no longer charge you for union dues. And basically what the judge found was that there is already a federal law that addresses that and it preempts this part of the state law.
And what does that federal law say exactly?
The federal law says that unions can require employees to sign year-long contracts. So the federal law essentially allows a union to say, if you agree to pay union dues, you have to do so for a year at least. What the state law said was there's no requirement that you adhere to that year-long agreement.
And so does this apply just to union members, or does this apply to other people working in a place where a union represents people, whether or not they're actually part of that union?
That's a good question. Actually, under the right-to-work law in Wisconsin, what essentially the right-to-work law in general and is most known for getting rid of is requiring non-union members to pay the union any kind of money or fair share payments. So right now, any employee is not required to pay anything to a union, no matter what kind of benefits they get. So as far as I know, this only applies to union members. But as far as if the law gets overturned or something gets changed, that could potentially also affect those fair share payments that non-members pay.
So who brought this case?
This was actually a couple of unions. They've been the main folks kind of opposing right to work because it obviously sort of negatively impacts them. They're the ones who benefit from having these union dues paid. So this was a couple locals of the International Association of Machinists.
And I'm assuming that they had a very specific situation that they had to refer to in order to bring this case. What were the specifics of what they put in their complaint?
You're exactly right. Lisa Applin worked for John Deere, actually. And after 2015 Act 1, also known as the Right to Work Law, was passed, she turned in a letter to John Deere, her employer, that said after 30 days after receiving this letter, do not take any more money from my paychecks and give it to the union. John Deere was initially hesitant to do that, but actually the state, the Department of Workforce Development, came out and supported her and said, you know, she's right. This is under the new right to work law. She's allowed to do this. And when John Deere said, okay, you know, we'll go agree with you, we'll agree with the state, that's when the unions brought suit.
And against whom were the unions bringing suit in this? Was it John Deere or was it the state of Wisconsin?
The state of Wisconsin, sort of a handful of parties that were since dismissed. Right now it's against the head of the Employment Relations Commission and the head of the Department of Workforce Development. Those are the only remaining defendants.
We're speaking with Molly Willems right now. She's the Wisconsin reporter for the Courthouse News Service, and we're discussing a recent ruling that struck down part of Wisconsin's right-to-work law. Now, Molly, the same judge had declined to give the union an immediate injunction on this topic this summer, but then ruled in their favor ultimately. Is that surprising?
Not really. As he pointed out when he denied the injunction, it's a fairly low bar to essentially continue a case, even if you don't get an injunction. to get an injunction, there are several things that a person has to show. You have to show that you will be irreparably harmed, for example. And the union, when they asked for an injunction, according to the judge, really didn't do all that much to prove that. They didn't say, you know, here's how much money we will lose. Here's how we'll lose the money if we don't get the injunction versus if we do get the injunction. It was just sort of a cursory thing that a lot of folks do when they file challenging a law. So that wasn't very surprising. But, yeah, at the end of the day, a lot of these go along political lines. And the judge, this judge who overturned it, is an Obama appointee, whereas a judge in the past who had supported the law was a Reagan appointee. So that wasn't terribly surprising to see that happen.
Right-to-work laws are in place in more than half of the states in the nation, including Wisconsin. Can you remind us what those laws generally address, what kind of topics they cover?
Sure. The thing that they're most known for, they obviously have these other kind of provisions as we're discussing here, but they essentially forbid unions, excuse me, from charging non-members what are called fair share payments. So they say you cannot be forced, essentially, to pay a union anything ever as a condition of employment. The two kind of arguments here are Republicans tend to be in favor of, they say, individual employees who say, I shouldn't have to pay for a thing that I don't want. You shouldn't ever be able to force an employee to pay for something that they've decided that they don't want to pay for. The other side of the coin is unions, and typically supported by liberals, Democrats, et cetera, are of the mind all employees benefit from our bargaining. So when, for example, if the union bargains for a pay increase, everybody gets the pay increase, right? It isn't just the union members. And so their idea is we're providing the service and you're benefiting from it whether you want to or not. Thus, you know, involuntary servitude is one of the arguments that they've advanced. It's illegal to make someone work or someone or a union work for free, essentially.
And before this, have there been other decisions that have limited Wisconsin's right to work law?
There were kind of back and forth. Actually, a judge in Dane County, so a state judge, whereas this current lawsuit is federal, had struck down the law, had completely eliminated it. Not uncommon. Again, Dane County is kind of known for sometimes the Dane County Circuit Court has been known in the past for kind of knocking down these conservative initiatives because Dane County is quite liberal. But actually, it's before the state appeals court now. And the appeals court basically said, ignore that. The law is still in effect while we are deciding that. And there were challenges, again, in the federal court. Right now, this one is in a separate case, is before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. But the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which controls Wisconsin and Indiana and a handful of other states, upheld a very similar law in Indiana. So I think that, as Attorney General Brad Schimmel often points out, it wouldn't make sense for the Seventh Circuit to uphold Indiana's law and not uphold Wisconsin's law.
So there are some challenges that we'll be keeping an eye on. And in this particular ruling, Molly, is it likely to stand, or have we gotten any signals about whether the state will appeal?
Nothing so far. I got the standard response from the state, which is they're reviewing the decision. As of right now, they haven't filed an appeal. It could be that they're waiting to see kind of the outcome of some of these other decisions, but frankly, this is compared to the big sort of the white whale of right to work laws. This is comparatively small potatoes.
Molly, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith. It was my pleasure.
Molly Willems is the Wisconsin reporter for the Courthouse News Service. She joined us to talk about a portion of Wisconsin's right to work law that was ruled unconstitutional this week. Coming up after the news, China is made up of several regions and states, each with its own unique cuisine. On Food Friday, we'll learn about the rich and diverse food heritage of China and get some delicious recipes to try at home. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.